Okay, a shear for the women in Pesach cleaning, Tafshin Ayin Gimel. So the first rule is to remember that it's a Yom Tov, Pesach, like all Yom Tovim, and you have to be Besimcha. And it's hard. Why? Because on one hand, we have amazingly complex diros, no comparison to what the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch are talking about, how many rooms and different, just, we have so much stuff, it's overwhelming. On the other hand, that's on one hand, there's a lot to clean and a lot to check and a lot to do. Much more complex. You can't do B'tikas Chametz early or Dalet anymore. I mean, it's like absurd. Okay, but we won't, that's not what we're here to talk about now, how that din is to be fulfilled. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, people generally do more than they have to do. So I'm going to talk about tonight what you have to do or what's an accepted chumrah. To go beyond that, we'll talk about what you have to do, what's an accepted chumrah, and what my mother, Allah Shalom, used to do, meaning what many people have a minig to do. But many things are indeed not necessary, and many things are spring cleaning. So you have to gauge yourself. If it ruins the yontiv, then you shouldn't do it. You should stick to Ikar Hadin. Or even some chumras that are, I call them rational chumras. But otherwise, don't let it spoil the yontiv, which is easier said than done. A man always, I moved out of Muncie. When I moved to Eretz Israel, the big thing was I don't have my cars to clean anymore for Pesach. And there was a garage in Muncie. We rented an apartment I never owned, but there was a garage. So cleaning the garage and cleaning the cars was like the big monster. So then I moved there to sell, and I got free of my jobs. Now I'm just left with the svarim. But as my children grow older, they do it. But we'll see to what degree you have to check svarim. That'll be on the things we talk about. So we're getting rid of the chametz. And it is important to remember as you're cleaning that your cleaning is a mitzvah. It's the mitzvah of Bir Chametz, which really kicks in to a degree. We won't go into the lumdus of it, but to a degree it kicks in from Purim on, 30 days before. So you're doing a mitzvah. You're cleaning and you're working hard, and you should realize that you're doing the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Not only are you doing the mitzvah of Bir Chametz, but you, with a little consciousness, you really are doing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz too. As I said, it's really important. There's a special mitzvah of Chazal to check your house for Chametz early or Dalet, right, the night before the 14th of Nisan. It's impossible nowadays. You couldn't do it. So, what some Achronim suggest is happening, and is that you're really starting before. Now, if you're cleaning a room, and you're looking for chametz. Now, if there's enough to the things in the room that you could see clearly, either from daylight or from the electric lights in the room, so that's fine. So then you're doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. You're looking for chametz. There are, that the Gemara talks about, though, like what the Gemara calls nooks and crannies, like inside a closet or inside a drawer, like something that you can't really see from with daylight, and the light. So that you have to do at night. If you need artificial light to see something clearly, then it has to be done at night. So you can do that part of the room at night. You can clean a whole room, and you're doing again. The mitzvah of Bir Chametz. Keep in mind, ladies, that you're doing the mitzvah of Bir Chametz. You also can be doing the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, which is Midrabanan. You have to check for Chametz. You can't just, the specific din, you have to search and destroy. You have to search for the Chametz. So you're really doing that. A, if there's enough natural light to see it clearly. And B, if the natural light's not enough, you need the light of the room, then you have to do it at night. If you need the light of the room, inside a closet. So then you can't just turn on the light or use a flashlight. Once you need artificial light, it has to be done at night. These are technicalities, though. All I'm saying now is a technicality in the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz.
You see better with a flashlight, but it's still enough light now.
then it's okay. That would be, you know, that would be okay. I'm saying if you need artificial light, then it has to be done at night. That's what the Gemara says.
That means that theoretically, when you finish cleaning a bedroom, if you go around and do a bedika, even if it's not already a dollar, then you.
But you want the cleaning is a bedika. You're looking for chametz.
Right.
That's what I'm saying is, again, when you're cleaning, you should have in mind you're doing the mitzvah of bir chametz. And also, really, you're doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, which is a midrabanan mitzvah to specifically look for chametz. Bir chametz means I'm cleaning the room, and if I find chametz, so I'll get rid of it. That's the mitzvah of bir chametz. Bedikas chametz is a mitzvah to look for it. And that's what you're doing as you're going through your house. It, again, if you, with a little planning that I'll do the drawers at night, and I'll open the lights, or maybe you have to take a flashlight maybe. So you could really make all of your cleaning into the mitzvah of bedikas chametz as well. And, okay, you're not going to make a bracha, the bracha is only made only a dal, but really then what's happening is that orli yadalad, you're in the middle of bedikas chametz, and it's being continued then. Okay. Now, there's a huge difference. Huge, huge. Can't stress that enough. If you're home for Pesach and you're eating in your house and you're cooking and you have food in your house and you're eating it regular, or if you're going away for Pesach, or you're sleeping at home but you're not doing any eating there, you're eating out all the meals. It's such a pity when people say, I'm going away for Pesach, I'm just going to lock up and sell the whole house. It's really such a pity, and I really tell them not to do it, because it's cleaning the house from chametz if you're not home for Pesach is not difficult at all. And it's such a pity to give away a mitzvah by selling it to a non-Jew, you know, when you could do the mitzvah. Because all you're looking for, if you're not home for Pesach, if you're not cooking, if you're not having food in the house, then you're looking for a kazayas of chametz. Kazayas is, you know, you don't want that half a cookie under your bed anyway. Like, the ants will come, right? You're looking for a kazayas, around 30 grams, a pretty significant piece of chametz. That is ro'oi la'achilas kelev. Ro'oi la'achilas kelev. So even if it's a little dirty, of the like, but if it's a kazayas, then that's what you have to get rid of it. You're not allowed to have it. You'd be oiga bal yiro bal yimotze. If it's a kazayas of food, that's ro'oi la'achilas kelev. That's what you're looking for. Or even if it's less than a kazayas, but it's something a person would eat. It's not dirty. These are the hakadaras. If it's less than a kazayas, then we start looking if it, even if it's roi l'achilas kelev, but if it's dirty, and you would really throw it out, or it's crumbs, and no one's, I don't know, you know, some people, if it's not something that would lend itself to eating, then you're not looking for that either. So you're looking either for a kazayas of ro'i l'achilas kelev, that a dog would eat it, or you're looking for less than a kazayas that there's a chance that a person would eat. Most achronim hold that crumbs are not included in that second category. Either the crumbs are dirty, even if you have crumbs in your pocket, it's usually dirty, or you wouldn't eat it. If you would, then you have to get rid of it, enochinami. So, but crumbs on the floor, certainly you're not going to eat. And so that's what you're looking for. If you're not home for Pesach, so if it's not roi l'achilas kelev, that would include all the deodorants. See, even if you don't use it, if you're machmir not to use soaps and shampoos, as I said, but you certainly, so just you put it aside. You don't have to worry about it. You're cleaning your house. You just put it aside because nothing's roi l'achilas kelev. Right, the deodorants, cosmetics, it's usually not. I mean, maybe there's certain perfumes, I guess, that an alcoholic would drink. Right? And they've been known to drink that when they're desperate. So maybe if it's a liquid, Rav Moshe Feinstein came up with a chumrah, it's a din. I mean, I don't mean only a chumrah. I mean, he's machmir. He says if it's a liquid that's distillable and you can extract grain alcohol from it, the grain alcohol that's in it, so then it's usher. Even if right now in its present form it's not roi l'achilas kelev. But that's only a liquid, right? Anything that's not a liquid, you can't distill. So I think the only thing, I mean, what do you call it? Perfume is the only thing I can think of. If it has grain alcohol and it's a liquid, so theoretically you could distill it. But otherwise, anything that's not roi l'achilas kelev, you don't have to worry about, even if it's a kazayas or more. So that already takes care of all the detergents and most cosmetics and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The chumra I mentioned a few minutes ago is not to smear it on your body, because that's like you're imbibing it. That's like it's getting absorbed into your body. But certainly you're allowed to own it. So that's if you're not on for Pesach. So it's very simple. So your oven. You're cleaning your oven. Okay? So it's full of junk. You haven't cleaned the oven in a year since last Pesach. But all you're looking for is a kazayas of chametz. A kazayas, if it's, let's assume the guk that's there is roi l'achilas kelev. But you're looking for a kazayas, which is a pretty significant amount of guk. And that's all you're looking for. Anything else is like dirt. Less than a kazayas, it's dirty. And you don't have to worry about it. So it would be easy to clean your dishes, clean your household items. That's all. That's what you're looking for. And you don't have to sell it to a guy. I'm a man. It's hard to judge. But then cleaning for Pesach is relatively simple. If all you're looking for is a kazayas of chametz that's ro'oi l'achilas kelev, or less than a kazayas that you would eat, that a person would eat, that's what you're looking for. Yes.
How desperate does a person have to be? I mean,
they're
going to eat anything.
Right. No. It means an average person would eat it. Uh-huh. That a normal person would eat it. He might eat a b'shas hadchak, but you're describing a starving person, so that doesn't count. So what's so big deal about Pesach cleaning? Oh, because if you cook, why is it such a big deal? Because if you are home for Pesach, then you have to realize that Chazal themselves, you know, chametz is symbolic of the Yetzirah or of Gaiva, and all these things we talk about. So Chazal made a lot of chumras about chametz on Pesach. First of all, they said even a mashahu. Normally, we're used to the idea. You're probably all familiar, at least, with the concept of bittel berov, that something is batel. By chametz, there's no such thing. On Pesach, if the smallest crumb falls into a huge pot of soup or anything, it's also to eat. Midrabanan, but still, that's midrabanan. It's also to eat. And they were machmir by different blios. You may be familiar, the Rav always asks you, is it Ben Yomo? And you go, oh, it wasn't Ben Yomo. Baruch Hashem. But on Pesach, there's no Baruch Hashem on that, because they forbade, even if it's not Ben Yomo, and even if it's Nois and Tam Lefagan, and there's some fancy thing called Nat Bar Nat, which it's also on Pesach. These things are mutter a whole year, and on Pesach Chazal were machmir. Not always Chazal. Sometimes it's later Achronim. Sometimes I'm talking now to Ashkenazim. Some of the things I'm saying, the Sfaradim are not machmir. But so that's why if you're eating at home, then you have to be on the alert. A crumb from the toys or from a pocket, shirt pocket, you know. Your husband, women are very lucky. They don't have pockets. I don't think women have pockets. No, they don't have pockets. What? Pocketbook. Yeah, but a man, you know, I am a kid. I decide to bring home a cookie to my kid, and I put my in my shirt, so there's crumbs there. So if I'm not going to be eating, so I'm saying, well, that's a problem no matter where you eat. So if I have crumbs in my pocket, I have to make sure that a crumb does not. We're going to talk about cleaning clothing in a moment, but I have to make sure that even a crumb does not get into my soup. So that's why we go crazy in cleaning, because of the chumras that Chazal made regarding a crumb even, and different blios. Like if your wall above your stove absorbed chametz during the year because of the spaghetti that was cooking, so even 9 months later, if it gets heated up by the Pesach chicken soup, and now it extracts that absorbed taste, you have a problem. Even though it's 9 months old, that absorbed taste. Right? The wall got heated up. It's right, so it absorbed spaghetti. So normally, after a day goes by, you don't have to worry about it. But on Pesach, they were machmir. So even 9 months later, you have to do something. You have to cover up the wall by the stove where the steam hits, because you might be extracting the spaghetti, absorb the taste of spaghetti that's in the walls. Just in that spot. It has to be atzoledes, that's still the same. It has to be heated up to a degree or else it doesn't absorb. So that's why we go crazy on Pesach. It really is, if you're not eating at home, then the rules are before. But if you're eating at home, then you have to go crazy and you have to start really making sure that nothing could possibly get into the food. Okay, so let's take clothing. You should make two piles of clothing, because the clothing you're going to wear, again, I don't know with women's clothing. I'm not acquainted. I'm talking about where there might be chometz, I guess. There's pockets. Oh, men have pockets. So you should make two piles. And the clothing he's going to wear on Pesach have to be cleaned super duper thoroughly, 100% clean. You send it out to dry clean, turn the pockets inside out. There can't be a crumb in a pocket. But, and then the other pile, which is stuff he's not going to wear Pesach, so we go back to the old rule. And that's easy. All you're looking for is a kazayas of chametz, which is like a whole half a cookie left in the pocket, which my wife finds, but she's nice enough not to say anything to me about it. And, or even less than a kazayas if it's something you would eat. Right? Not crumbs. So the truth is, if I have a pair of pants that I'm not wearing on Pesach, you know, I'm not wearing it, so I don't really have to worry about the crumbs in the pockets. Even if there are crumbs, because it's less than a kazayas, and people usually are not going to eat that. It's dirty. It's okay. So that's with clothing. Now toys, same thing. The problem will be that the toys will be all around the house and in the kitchen also, and even one crumb creates a problem. So that's why you have to wash the toys. Otherwise, you would look through the toys without even cleaning them. And you would just make sure no kazayas of chametz, or no less than a kazayas of something that you would be tempted to eat. But because you're home and there's toys, so then you're going to wash the toys. So you wash them, you throw them in the bathtub, put in some detergent. That's always an eitzah with washing, that you make it not roi l'achilus kelev. If it's not roi l'achilus kelev, you don't have to worry about it. There's no chumrah if it's not roi l'achilus kelev. So if a crumb that's not roi l'achilus kelev falls into the soup, there's no problem. So you clean the toys, and anyway, you'll build up over the years mitzvah shem Pesach toys, and it'll increase immensely your children's enjoyment of the yontif, because they see these toys once a year, so they'll get all excited. So it's good to have Pesach toys and Pesach books. Because it really has to, otherwise it has to be cleaned 100%. You have to go through it thoroughly. Okay. Same with books. Books you're going to bring. It's not a good idea. Books is very hard to clean thoroughly. A crumb in the crease of the book creates a problem. So you don't bring, generally we don't bring books that are used during the year to the table on Pesach. It's just too dangerous. We don't do it. So you could, again, if you have children's books, they love it. You could either have Pesach books, or you could pick 10 books. That's what we used to do in Monte, I remember. You pick 10 books, and you take and go through it page by page, and you clean it very extra, super thoroughly. And so that's an option. Benches and Zmiris books, don't bother. Don't bother. But again, you don't have to. People say, we'll sell it to the guy. I'm not in favor of that. I'm in favor of looking through it and making sure there's no kazayas, which is an enormous amount if you're talking about benches. Usually you got stuff stuck to it, which is less than a kazayas, and it's dirty. So you don't have to worry about it.
How do you define kazayas? Is it kazayas in one
area? Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's a whole bunch of, maybe there's a
kazayas. It's not mustavra. They don't combine. Then, if you're not going to be using those books on Pesach, then all you have to worry about is a kazayas of chametz, or less than a kazayas of temptably edible chametz. Okay, so why do I clean out my svarim? I don't know, because spring cleaning. It's been cleaning. Once a year, you blow off all the dust that accumulated. Okay. Moving through the house, a table, you're not going to kasher a table. I mean, I think in the shul, they'd rather have stainless steel tables in the ulam. But most people have wooden tables. You could kasher wood, but you'll probably ruin the table. So you don't want to do that. So you clean it thoroughly, and you're going to cover it with something, clean it thoroughly so there's no be'en chametz. The next step is to protect from bleos, so you're going to cover it with something waterproof. Whether it's plastic, you can put the plastic under your beautiful yontif tablecloth, or you could put the plastic on top. But you need something waterproof there, because that creates a problem if it tears, or water soaks through. That's a problem. So what you want to do for a table, one second, again, is clean it thoroughly so there's not even a crumb of chametz. Yeah, take a toothpick, and where you put in the, what's it called, the leaf. Gotta clean it thoroughly. And then you're going to cover the table with something waterproof, and that won't tear. Well, so you're not going to use the ones that are there a whole year.
Right.
So what are you asking me? If you have to clean it?
You have to clean it anyway because of the legs, but do you still have to do that extra layer?
No. You just described the layers that I described. Right. A plastic and a tablecloth. That's all. You're not going to use the ones you use the whole year anyway. So you've done it. Okay, this is the easy stuff. We're getting to the kitchen soon. So chairs or couch. Now, there is a minig, and my mother allows Shalom, and maybe other people do it too. Anything that is in constant, you're touching a whole year round, you cover up. In our house, we cover the light switches, the handles of all doors, anything that the telephone, you know, the receiver. Everything is covered. It's not a din. That's like a minig. It's not a minig of Klal Yisrael. It's a minig I know from my mother, Shalom. And I see other people do it too. But otherwise, all you do with all these things is you clean it thoroughly. And again, some people say, you know, you're cleaning it thoroughly, clean it already with something like ammonia or something that'll just render anything that might be there not roi lachilus kelev. So you don't have to worry if there's something that you missed. But really, all you're doing with all these things that don't really have bleos of chametz, and they're not around when you're cooking, and you're not worrying about any bleos, so you just have to. But you're always, they're around, they're in the kitchen. I mean, the telephone. I mean, I don't know, do they still have the screw? You screw off, in the olden days, you screwed off the speaker, and there was always crumbs inside of there. Don't ask me how it got there. But you have to clean it thoroughly. Things that are always in the kitchen, you're cleaning thoroughly. Whether it's the cabinets in the kitchen, I'm not talking about now the cabinets that might have absorbed heat, but all the cabinets. You're cleaning it thoroughly, whether the telephone, the cabinets, the light switches, doorknobs, all these things, you're just cleaning thoroughly. This is already a very widespread minig to put shelf liners in the shelves of the closets in the kitchen. Even though, again, if you clean it thoroughly, you don't have to. We're talking cold, we're not talking anything hot, we're not talking about bleus. But again, it's used the whole year with chametz, so it's good. It makes the house feel Pesach thick. Your kids will remember Pesach fondly, and they'll say, oh, look at that. We remember that pattern of the shelf liners. Okay. Yeah, windowsills, windows, cabinet covers, the radio, the telephone. I'm going through the kitchen now. Just clean it well. I have a Pesach keyboard. I'm not bothering to clean out my keyboard or my computer for Pesach. It's full of crumbs, who knows, everywhere. So I have a Pesach keyboard, that's all. And we put it away with the Pesach dishes. And then on Pesach I feel, ah! My yontif keyboard. What? A mouse, again, because it's smooth, I guess when you buy a keyboard, it comes with a mouse. I guess I have a new mouse also. But if you want to know the halachas that we're learning about, a mouse is smooth, so I would treat it like a doorknob, and I would clean it just very well. But the keyboard has many, many places where crumbs could go, and so that's why. Okay. We do have separate tablecloths and dish towels. If you have a special tablecloth that you really want to use on Pesach, which someone once asked me about, it was very like, so I could call up and ask a shaila, because it will depend a lot on what the tablecloth is made out of and how it was used. But I think the norm is to have separate tablecloths and dish towels for Pesach. A broom, you know, we have a Pesach broom, but you don't really need one. You just have to clean it out thoroughly. Or you could maybe just buy the head. Okay, that's for sure. But you could just clean it out thoroughly. There's really, if you want to know, do you need a new broom for Pesach? The answer is no, but make sure you clean it out thoroughly. There already, maybe you don't have to be so choshesh that a crumb will get into food. So you really, again, just looking for a kazayas of chametz there, because everything there is very filthy. So you're just worried about a kazayas. Unless it's your kitchen broom, you use it in the kitchen. So this is why we're machmer. We say, you know, maybe a crumb will somehow get into food. Which is, again, that makes the craziness of the cleaning is always that fear, that a crumb is going to get into food. Okay. There is a chumrah. This is already a halachic chumrah that Ashkenazim do. And that is that things that are on the table the whole year are either covered or kashered. Marshall, if you have the Kiddush cup that you really want to use, but it never had any hatchametz in it, but you either kasher it or you cover it. No one's going to cover the Kiddush cup, but it's the candlesticks that are on the table. If they're on the table with food a whole year, so you could theoretically kasher it. You pour boiling hot water over silver candlesticks, or you cover it with silver foil. But the chumrah of the Ashkenazim is that something that's on a chametzdik table a whole year, even if it's used extremely far-fetched that it had any blios and everything was cold, but we do hagola or we cover it. Okay, now we're up to the
covering,
yeah.
Covering it means covering, let's say the candlesticks are a vase, means just covering the bottom part of it or covering the entire
thing. Okay. Or don't put it on the table, Pesach. That's the chumrah, not to have on the table like stamazai, what you had on the table the whole year. Okay, the stove, that's the top. I always get mixed up between a stove and an oven. So if you can get Pesach grates, that's great, no pun intended, but really it's relatively easy to kasher a grate. Some say you don't even have to kasher it. It's always self-kashering because it's always the fire. It's always going through fire. But some say you should kasher it, so you can either put it in a self-cleaning oven that someone's going to be turning on to kasher the self-cleaning oven, or you could. I mean, you want to make it hot enough. Again, somehow you don't have to kasher it. Some get new Pesach grates. Some say you should kasher it. Kashering a grate would mean to get it hot enough that if you put a paper to it, it would singe. That's how hot it would have to get. Sometimes you need hotter than that. But this is a chumrah, so it's called libun kal. It's called, that's its technical term. Libun is to, hagola is when you dip something in boiling water. That's called hagola. Libun is when you apply heat to it, a flame and heat. So then there's libun kal, which is a lesser degree than libun chomor. So libun kal is that if you touch the paper to it, it would turn brown. The edges would turn brown. So for the grates, you want to get it that hot. So what's recommended by many is just turn on the fire and put on a blech. And within a very short time, all the grates will get that hot. And you've kashered your grates. The burners, that's where the fire comes out of, mamish, you don't have to kasher them. Do people buy new burners for Pesach? Maybe they do. But they, you know, the grates is already a chumrah to get new grates, and even to kasha the grates, but then many people do. But the burners, mamish not. Okay. Yeah, why do I have a Pesach stove at home? I don't know. It's easier. These are the things you do for Pesach. I just realized something. The degree to which you would heat up the grates, you probably don't need a self-cleaning oven. It's probably enough if you have a regular oven to just put it on and then put the grates in there. It'll almost certainly get hot enough for the degree of heat that we're talking about. The self-cleaning is when you need real libun. That's when you need the extent of a self-cleaning oven's heat. Okay, now the counters. And really, everything I'm saying about the counters is probably true about the sink also. I think everything could be put together. First of all, it has to be kasherable, theoretically. We're talking about if you want to kasher it. So it has to be kasherable. Kasherable would mean stainless steel, metal. What they call shayish in Eretz Yisrael, the poiskim, at least for Pesach, say, is not kasherable. There's too much epoxy plastic in there. Even what's called granite, which is stone, which is kasherable, but it also has many, many areas of plastic in it. So the poskim for Pesach are not so happy about it. Obviously a stainless steel sink or a stainless steel counter. Is there such a thing as stainless steel counters? No? My wife said she would be on call if I need her. Is there stainless steel counters? Now some say, so again, if it's kasherable, you kasher it, but it's still a problem. Because while many books and Pesach primers say that you just have to pour boiling hot water over it, many, many people are machmir and say that you need a greater degree of heat. Because pouring boiling hot water is something that's called irui kli rishon. You're pouring boiling hot water. Hagola is dipping it in boiling water. And that's a higher degree of heat. Now, what we're afraid of happening in the sink and the counter is that a solid piece of boiling hot chametz fell on it. And if you know Yehilchus Shabbos, so it's called a dover gush, and a dover gush, that's Yad Soledes Bo, has a din of a kli rishon, not irui. In other words, hot went on to cold. A piece of macaroni, boiling hot macaroni, fell into the sink. So that is a kli rishon absorption, we assume. Not an irui absorption, because it's hot onto cold. But we consider it, because it's a solid and it retains heat so well, we consider it a kli rishon absorption. If it's a kli rishon absorption, so you got to do a kli rishon hagola. Now you're not going to pick up your sink and put it into a tub of boiling water. It's not going to work. So, but everybody, you know, so some people don't bother. And they just do irui, which is always a good idea, and then they get an insert, and they cover the counters with waterproof, not tearable something. I leave it to the women to ask around what they use. My mother, Leah Shalom, always used cardboard or contact paper. But cardboard or contact paper. But they have all PCV, PVC, I don't know. Now, let's talk about it. But an insert on Pesach in a sink causes a lot of problems, and there's sometimes a backup, and you defeated your whole purpose because chametz could come up. So you really want to kasher the sink, but it's not easy to do. If you, a lot of books say books I mean poskim. A lot of poskim say just do irui in the sink, and that's enough. But I don't know. I recommend being machmir. So how are you going to do the equivalent of hagola in a sink? So there are a few ways. They're all very difficult, and I don't recommend doing them all. Except, I'll tell you in a second, except what just happened in the last few days. You could theoretically have a kumkum when it's on, when the button's down, when it's bubbling, but it didn't shut off. It's on. And you pour it on, that is the equivalent of a kli rishon, not irui. because you're holding it close to the thing and it's mamish is bubbling. That's one way. It's maybe dangerous, maybe, you know, and you have to do every spot. You have to hit every spot. There's something called, you might have heard about it, called an Evan Meluban, which is if you hold, they used to use a rock. Nowadays, people use a piece of metal, the people that do it. And you have to make it red hot, and then you pour.
A wrench.
Yeah. But again, it's dangerous. And then you pour the boiling hot water over that, and you go along every spot, holding it very close. I don't see how you can get every spot. I don't understand it. It's messy, and I think it's dangerous. Some people suggest getting an industrial immerser. Like you have an immerser to make a cup of tea, there are industrial size immersers, and you put it into the sink, and the water in there is bubbling and cooking. Again, I think it's dangerous. And my wife says it doesn't work. That's a shame, my wife. There's such a thing called an industrial immerser. So what are we going to do? Rabbi Berkowitz, for the counters, I don't know if you can do this to a sink, says if you put a layer of water on it and you go over it with a steam iron that doesn't get ruined in the water, steam iron, and you iron your counters. You put the iron onto that layer of water that's on the counters. That's what he came up with that idea. So again, cover the counters. Again, this is maybe an easy way out. Cover the counters and get an insert for your sink. Anybody know Ron Teifer? There's a fella in Ramat Beit Shemesh. He's a mashgiach for Avai. And he's a kook about kashrus. He's like, my wife says his name sounds like a football player, Ron Teifer. But he's a great guy, very knowledgeable, and very, very medactic. He offered to come, and I was talking to him, he offered to come and blowtorch my sink. I have a stainless steel sink, you know, in Yerushalayim. So he's going to blowtorch it, which, and all you need is libun kal, because since all you need is hagala, so you don't need the heavy libun, you need libun kal. But then my wife said that there's a finish on a stainless steel sink that it shouldn't rust like a, and so she checked with him and he asked by the charedus and everything, and they said taka, it'll lose the shine if you blowtorch it, and they really just do that in commercial things where they don't care how it looks. So, but then he said he would come do the Evan Meluban with a piece of iron. And I would trust him 1,000% to do it meticulously and carefully, and he offered to come do it. So we're negotiating now. Because my wife is very excited about the idea of not having to use an insert. But many poskim, a number of big time poskim, say you just do eerie. So check with me if you want to do that. I can't say for sure, don't. I don't know. Okay, is there a lack of clarity? But there's clarity. Some say you could just do Irui. People are machmir, and they, because of that boiling hot macaroni that fell into the sink. And even if it's 6 months ago, 9 months ago, we're machmir on Pesach. There's no noisim tam livgam. It doesn't matter that it's not ben yomo. And chametz for Pesach is even a mashahu. So even if there's 60 against it, like nothing helps. So that's why we go crazy, and that's what you have to do. So the best answer with the sink is to do Eroy, sink and counters, Eroy and an insert and cover. If you don't want to do it, call me up and we'll discuss practically what you should do. They used to sell, I remember when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, they sold with the Hechsher of Nissan Karelitz a steam machine that shot out boiling hot steam, and the Hechsher was that it has a din of Hagola, not Eri Kli Rishon. It's off the market, I imagine, because it was just terribly dangerous. It shoots out hot steam. It shoots out boiling hot steam. Eri means something boiled up in a pot, and now I'm pouring it onto it. So now it's not at the source of heat anymore, right? That's why it's a lesser degree of heat halachically. But this machine apparently, that's why I said the kumkum, if you can get an extension cord and keep the kumkum on and keep on pressing that button that it's cooking, then it's not really Eroy, it's like you're cooking the counter, you're cooking the sink. what a regular, what that's what I'm talking about. This machine shot out steam.
So they have those on the market then.
That lechora would be that would be the best.
That would be better than just
Yeah, that lechora. Yeah, I don't know, but the one I'm thinking of had a hechsher from Rav Nissim Karel, that this is like Hagola. But I don't see why anything that's that hot and you're pouring it right on the thing, you steam. There's something like for cleaning they use it, I guess, right? Lechora, that's like Hagola, because it's like you're cooking the thing, right? It's that close. It's not, you don't have any break in the application of the heated water. So lechora would be okay. Lechora. Again, I would say if you want to do it. Be careful, especially since many hold you could just do even ivory on the sink. But this is all a stainless steel sink, not a ceramic sink. This is all, it has to be kasherable. What? Oh, we'll get. Let me go on. Okay. I'll ask Ron Pfeiffer. See, he does things. I'll ask him about that. What is it called?
Kitar
in Hebrew? Kuf Yud Tes Vav Resh?
Yeah.
Kitar HaKifshon? Like that pasuk? Kitar HaKifshon?
Yes,
that's steam. Kitar HaKifshon. That must be it. I'll check with him. We're still negotiating. Let me call my wife. She said she'd be on call. Please? I'm sorry. I said she should really give this year, not a man. She should give this year, and I should be on call in case there's a halachic question. Okay, the walls. Okay, you're cooking in the kitchen. You should cover the walls. The walls that have heat. Is that it? Is that what was it? Hello. Is mommy home? What? She was supposed to be on call. Swimming before Pesach? I hope it was in boiling hot water. Okay, she needs kayach to clean. Okay, she probably didn't think I was serious. Okay, thank you. Bye bye. Okay. Is that it? That's a kitor?
Yeah, it has to steam out.
No. Steam shoots out?
Yeah, one of the.
What is that called? That's this ketor that you're talking about?
Well, there are ketor iron, and there's even a ketor cleaner where it just has a spout where steam comes out.
Where does steam come out here from? Steam shoots out of those holes?
Yeah.
But they're very small holes. The cleaner makes sense. Then you, have you ever used this? No, but you use it on clothing. I don't. I'm afraid to say, because maybe only very little comes out, and you can't possibly get every spot on the thing you're kashering. Yeah, but the thing that's cleaning is made sort of for that, to get every spot. This is made for clothing. I don't know. I mean, you need like a practical. I'm afraid I don't know. I don't know what to say. But theoretically, yes, you could use a ketor. I'll double check with this Mr. Pfeiffer, but Lachari, yes. And maybe even that, if it shoots out steam. Shoots out boiling hot steam. Okay, the walls in the kitchen that are hit with steam, you should cover. And also the underside of the cabinets that are overhang where you're cooking. Anywhere that's chametz steam made an absorption of chametz, so you have to guard that now when you're cooking for Pesach, the heat would then, whatever the opposite of absorb is, would extract the absorbed chametz taste. So you want to cover it with something that would protect it, whether it's cardboard or thickish aluminum foil. I think most people use. My mother, Lashon Hara, always used cardboard because we had cardboard boxes. Now cardboard boxes like your karamatsias. Okay, the refrigerator you're going to clean. I'm going to get to the sink and to the faucet. Okay, the refrigerator you're going to clean. Some people are mocked to do it with ammonia, just in case this thing, the crumbs that they can't get to, so you want to render the crumbs, not roy lachilus kelev. Again, this has nothing to do with what I said, that you don't have to worry about crumbs, because now we're talking food, and the crumbs can get into food. Once it's rendered not roy lachilus kelev, then you don't have to worry about it at all. So when they clean the refrigerator and the gaskets and the whatever might have crumbs in it. So some people do it with ammonia, just to make sure to render it not roi l'achilas kelev. Many people cover the shelves in the refrigerator. That's the same people that cover the shelves in the cabinets. But here, everybody says, make sure you poke holes in it to allow for air circulation so you don't ruin your refrigerator. There's tons of chametz in the pans on the bottom and stuff. Okay. What do you do with the drain and the sink? The drain, we'll talk about first. So if you have an insert, the insert has a hole. So first of all, you're going to pour boiling hot water with detergent or ammonia down the drain. This is just in case, that's what you're going to do. But also, if you're using an insert, it would be best to put the strainer, it's called. The insert has a hole, so you'll put the strainer on the insert, and I think you could remove the strainer from the sink. This way, it'll all go down. You won't have a problem with backup. If you put the strainer in the insert, not in the sink, then you shouldn't have a problem of backup. The insert should be a little raised. It shouldn't lie flat in the sink, because then you'll almost for sure have a problem. But if you raise it a little, then the water has time to go down and it doesn't back up. Just in case it does back up, that's why you're pouring boiling hot water down the sink, the drain, and with ammonia or with detergent. And this way, but you're okay. 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 The faucet. So the handles and the Edson faucet, some of them are replaceable. I talked to my wife before. She said that we have a sink, you can buy a new faucet. So we buy a new faucet for Pesach. But if you can't, you're going to pour boiling hot water over it. The knobs and the faucet. The knobs, again, some people are annoyed to cover it. Like I said, like you cover electric lights and you cover anything that you're always touching, you're going to cover. But really, you just have to clean it thoroughly and pour boiling hot water over it. Now, the spout, if you can buy a new spout, you know, that's where the water comes out of. If you can buy a new spout, that's preferable. That's best. Buy a new one for Pesach. I think they're easily obtainable. If not, then we have a problem. Why? Because your spaghetti steam went up and got absorbed by that spout, right? You have your pot of spaghetti that you put into the sink, and it was hot, and the steam rose and went into the spout. So how do you capture that? So that's why, first of all, you want to get a new spout. If you can't get a new spout, then the only thing I can think of is to recreate that scenario. Let's kasher it again with steam. We don't like to do that, but in this case, there's no other eitzah. The whole thing is a chumrah. It's the chumrah because it's really not. It's not benyomo, and it's not benyomo. But we're machmir by Pesach. But if you don't have an eitzah, then you really should do that. In other words, you want to take a pot of boiling water that's emitting steam, and that steam goes like up into the spout. And if you the usual rule of thumb is that if you recreate the degree of heat with which something absorbed chametz, then that kashes it as well. So if you can recreate the degree of heat that your spaghetti steam went up into the spout, so you could kasher the spout that way too, with innocuous steam.
You use a chametz sticker pot or a
Pesach sticker pot? You don't use a Pesach sticker pot. You use a chametz sticker pot that hasn't been used in 24 hours. I have to ask my wife. I don't know. Logically, why would it matter? I mean, we're talking about not using chametz anymore in the sink. So I don't think it would matter. You're not cooking it. You're not You're not cooking chametz anymore. There's no more hot chametz in the sink, and there's no and you're not up to the Pesach food yet, right? You're in that twilight zone between no more chametz and cooking for Pesach. So I don't see why it matters. And buy a new one. Agola. Steam. Yeah, that's. You could do that, yes. The steam is no better than Agola because it's still. It's called liquid. It's, I guess that would. I'm thinking now. You see, when you have directly applied heat, not through the medium of liquid, then you need libun, not Agola. Maybe steam is not considered a medium of liquid in the equivalent of cooking something, but it's considered direct heat. And if it's direct heat, then you need libun. So I could check on that. I'm not sure of the answer to your question. And if we assume it absorbed chametz tikka steam, would hagala be enough, or would you need libun? Sorry, I don't.
First, put on top of the agala.
Put
the faucet, the top of the faucet.
The hagala pot is like boiling water, so there's steam coming up.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what you should do, to recreate the steam that absorbed the chametz.
You kind of like have the hagala station, like it, you know, the guys out on the street who have hagala going.
You mean to bring the spout and to hold it over? How are you going to hold it? You mean you're going to put on the gloves? Okay, yeah. That's what I said before. You recreate the degree of steam that absorbed the chametz, the spaghetti steam, into the spout, and you could kasher it that way. The top of the stove, you're going to cover with aluminum foil, right? Everything splatters there and there, all kinds of things. Yeah, if you have a self-cleaning oven, the place can allow you to just turn it on. My wife still is not used to it, but she does it. I forced her to do it. And it's only 3 years that we have a self-cleaning oven. We never had such luxuries before. If there's anything rubber in the oven, then you have to cover it with aluminum foil. It's not kasherable, so you want to cover it with aluminum foil. I don't know, on the inside, sometimes on the door... Yes, you have to cover it. You have to cover it with aluminum foil. Don't ask me about kashering a microwave. Just don't do it and buy a new one. Really. It's too complicated. There's too many different kinds. And there's plastics, and the plastic is not kasherable, and it's questionable even if you could kasher a microwave. So it's like, yes, you know, we're not going to kasher the mixer. We're not going to kasher the toaster oven. You just put it away.
Yeah.
I asked a few poskim. They think, again, the answer to that is just the rule. If it gets the heat that's needed to kasher it, then it's not necessary. Saying to cover it is making an assumption that it doesn't get that hot. All the people I spoke to says it does. But you still have to cover the things that are not kasherable, like rubber and gaskets and things like that. Okay, I have nothing else to say. I mean, you could ask questions. No, during Pesach. In other words, it's assumed that's not kasherable, so you want to make sure it doesn't emit any absorbed chametz flavors, chametz taste. So you cover it with a material like aluminum foil. That's why Hashem made aluminum foil.
What about an oven that's not a
self-cleaning? So there are poskim that allow you to kasher it by just turning it on, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's almost universally not allowed. They don't let. They say it's not good enough. So we used to use an oven insert. In Muncie, they were called milk boxes. they'll stay with this metal can, but then you come on Pesach, you turn it on its side, and it magically becomes a Pesach oven insert. You could order it, they sell it. I don't, people don't use that anymore. You could either buy an oven, buy like, oh, anyway, you, in Arizona they don't, you can blowtorch it. There it's not so delicate. You see, the sink, to blowtorch a sink is more delicate. To blowtorch an oven is not so delicate, so you just need someone that's going to do it. You don't need like an expert that's a doctor. You still, but you need someone that knows what he's doing, and it has to have libun chomer, and you have to get every spot. But what you could do is blowtorch it, or use an insert. Or I guess the equivalent of an insert is you could line all the walls of the oven, all six, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You would have to line all of them with like aluminum foil. So, again, the point of aluminum foil is that you're blocking the absorbed chametz taste from being emitted, right? So I guess you could create your own insert by lining all the walls of the oven with thickish aluminum foil. You know, it's easier to buy an insert if they still sell them. Nowadays, so many people are self-cleaning ovens. I don't know what happened to the Pesach insert market. There's an oven insert and a sink insert. Sink insert is plastic. Oven insert is like a metal. Yeah. Wash the Pesach ones. That's better than using. Yeah, but that's better than. But if you ran out, so you wash it. That's better than using. If you run out, you could. If you have no clothing left, you could wash.
We don't do any laundry.
We don't do laundry on Chalamoid. But if you run out of clothing and it's like dirty, like you can't wear it, so you could wash what you need to wear on Yom Tov. So I would rather you wash a dish towel than use a chametz sticker dish towel.
Hand towels are okay.
I don't know what to answer you, so I'm thinking what we do. No, towels are the same. They're not used with food. I don't know. You know, people don't. I haven't seen that chumrah. Maybe people do it. I'm thinking of my own house. I have to answer you honestly. We don't have special towels for Pesach. We have special dish towels, but not special towels. Do you need dishwashing detergent that's kosher for Pesach? Not really. I don't know. Is it Roy Lachilas Kelev? It's pretty soapy. Would a dog? No. That you're laughing, but that's how you determine the din. Would a dog lap it up? But again, it could be there's no chametz in it anyway. We're not really talking about chametz sticker dishwashing liquid. We're talking about if we need a heksher for Pesach. So again, these lists say that there's no chametz in it, whether it's detergents or deodorants or dishwashing liquids or soaps. The lists tell you there's no chametz in it. And then you add to that even if there would be chametz in it, it's probably not royal achilas kelev. So it's anyway okay. Okay, so this is Pesach made easy. But you see, you're all laughing because a man's talking. He doesn't have to do it.
Just make sure the countertop is it okay just to cover it, or do you have to
cover it? No, so logically, once you're covering it with waterproof, non-terrible material, you would not have to kasher it. There's a minig, we don't really kasher it. There's a minig to pour boiling hot water over it first and then to cover it. But you're right. That's what's done. It's called turning over the kitchen. Well, if it's granite, some place can allow you to mamish kasher it. But then again, Irui, I feel, is not enough. Although there are many poskim that say it is enough. So you need the steam, as we said, the kitar, or the eben meluban, or a steam iron running across it. And it's true that logically you would say, well, once you're covering it, why bother kashering it at all? Why bother pouring boiling hot water over it if you're then going to cover it anyway? But What people do is they pour boiling hot water over it and then they cover it. It says in Shulchan Aruch from a Yerushalmi that whatever the women do for Pesach, don't laugh at them. They're being tzidkaniyos. Don't laugh at them. Don't make fun of them. Even if it's unnecessary, your husband's not allowed to make fun of you. But having said that, I will add that if it's spoiling the yanta for you, then don't do it. Then it's not a question of making fun of the women, it's a question of advising them not to run themselves down and not enjoy the yanta. That's a chiyuv d'oraisa to enjoy the yantif. Yeah. I thought you had a question. Okay? Yeah. I don't know, my wife's not available. Anybody have any suggestions? I need detergent. Any soap, soap. Anything soapy.
Yeah. And what about the
Are you doing any cooking there, or just to clean? Again, if you're not using it on Pesach, then you have to open it up and look for a kazayas of chametz, or less than a kazayas of something that's edible. So again, what some people, you clean it out, and then some people just spray it with what they don't have, with some sort of cleanser. You spray it, make it not roi l'chilas kelev. You should clean it out in case under the platform,
under the grates.
I know there's a platform. I don't know if stoves still come like that, but in my day, stoves came that you lifted up a platform and a full of food. Yeah. There might be a kzayis of chametz there. Bali ro, bali motze. And that's accessible. I mean, me'ikar ha-din, you don't have to go after inaccessible chametz, meaning under the refrigerator. Or maybe under the platform if it's screwed in and you have to unscrew it. That's me'ikar ha-din. But we're all machmir. If you know there's chametz there, because some shittos hold, if you know there's chametz there, then even if it's basically inaccessible, you have to get it out. And the din of inaccessibility is only if you're not sure. But if you know for sure, not just you're surmising, but you know for sure there's chametz there, then you have to get it out. And that's what we do. We move the refrigerators, we pick up those platforms, and we make sure there's no chametz there. And that you have to do to the bottom too, even if you're not using it to cook. But if it's chametz, it's bali ro, bali motze, this tashbisu. That's the mitzvah to destroy chametz. Okay. Clean out your kids' briefcases. Tell your kids to clean out their briefcases. I don't know if you could trust them. Right. Okay. Good. Yeah, there could be a lot more questions. It's okay.
How are we meant to be doing Bidika Kana? Now, is it meant to be, we can do it, or is it meant to be...
You're talking about the night before Erev Pesach?
No.
I suggested now you should have in mind, first of all, you're doing the mitzvah of destroying chametz.
Should we ask or not to my father?
Yeah, right. But I said, and not only are you doing the more general, the oraisa mitzvah of bir chametz, but with a little thinking, you could actually be mekayim the mitzvah of the rabbanon of bedikas chametz, because you're looking for chametz. I said, then you just have to make sure there's enough light in the room, and if you're going to a place which needs artificial light, you should make sure you do it at night. But yes, the fact that you're doing it and your father's is fine. Okay. I hope this was helpful.